Welcome to Let's Talk Link Building. I'm your host, Aaron Anderson with LinkPitch.io. And today's guest is none other than myself. Yeah, I decided to just record an episode, just me and only me, and not interviewing someone today. The reason I decided to do an episode like this is because I had a guest on here recently, Debbie Chu. And it was a great interview with her. And after the show, I was chatting with her and she was like, you know, I want to hear more about like how you do link building. And I was like, yeah, okay, maybe I could do some an episode about that. And the thing is, like the ways that I do link building, I actually haven't come across so far. I haven't had an interview or an interviewee that uses the same kind of approaches that I do as their core strategies. So I did think, okay, well, it could be interesting to dive into kind of more some of the strategies that I do and that I like. And that's what we're going to do today. It's a little different for me not being able to ask the questions. And I was even thinking, well, it'd be nice to maybe have an interviewer and just ask me questions. But I don't know. I didn't find anyone. So I'm just going to run with it and see how it goes. So the strategy that I kind of really want to dig into most, I mean, I'll tell you my three core strategies that I like to utilize and that we utilize at LinkPitch for link building. You know, we do mostly email outreach, cold email outreach, but we still try to get earned links through that outreach. So that means we don't do a lot of paid link insertions or guest posting. It's mostly trying to get like free links based on either the quality of the content or the value that we're kind of offering someone. So we have three main strategies that I would say are our core strategies. That would be unlinked mentions, you know, pursuing backlinks when someone mentions your brand and doesn't link to you. That'd be resource page link building, reaching out when someone has a page with resources and asking to be included on those. And then broken link building, when there's a broken link and you're suggesting a replacement link. So if you've been a longtime listener or you like to start at the very beginning of podcasts, my very first episode I recorded, I talked a little bit about my journey and I dived into some of broken link building, kind of some of the things that I like about it and whatnot. So maybe some of this I'll be repeating myself somewhat, but I do want to do a more thorough discussion of broken link building. And that's because it's my personal favorite strategy. And I think the thing that I like so much about it, I mean, there's a few things, but a lot of people think broken link building is maybe an old school strategy, or they don't think it works that well anymore or whatnot. But the thing that I really like about broken link building is that you can get links, lots of different types of links. You can get editorial links, you can get on resource pages, like a wide variety of different types of links. You don't need to have a lot of creativity about the template that you write. It's a pretty generic template. And the success is more about like finding the broken link. And if you can get a good broken link, generally like you will get links from it. And so I think maybe for me and my personality, it's more fun for me to keep digging and looking. And then it's like kind of like searching for, you know, needle in a haystack or searching for gold or something. But once you find it, you're like, oh yes, I found this and it has value. And so I like that. I might be like maybe not as creative and enjoying the creative writing side of things. So, you know, that's some of the reasons I really like broken link building. The other thing too is you can get links from really, really great sites with broken link building. And I think there's sometimes a misunderstanding of like how good of links you can get with it. People maybe underestimate the types of links you can get. I mean, we've gotten links from New York Times, Parade, Men's Health, you know, Shopify. I mean, really any large site on the internet. A lot of very large sites on the internet, we've gotten links from purely from a broken link strategy. And so it's something that works. It works well. We've built links from thousands of referring domains just with broken link building. So yeah, I'm a big fan of it. And I kind of feel like I'm the broken link building fanboy. That's why I'm like, I would like to talk to someone else that does broken link building, but I don't know if anybody likes it quite as much as I do. So with that being said, let's kind of get into some of the details of how, you know, we execute broken link building campaigns. So one of the, there's different ways to find broken links, because really it's all going to come down to finding good broken links. And that's really where the differentiation happens. I think a lot of people, they'll use a tool, they'll find some broken links, but they won't be that good or whatever. And then they're like, this strategy doesn't work. So really the success of the strategy is fully dependent on finding good broken links that you can use. And that's really where you gotta focus your time and effort. And in my opinion, the best way to find broken links is there's different strategies you can use. And I think a lot of people don't like it because there might be these tools out there, but some of the best approaches are actually the more manual ones. And that might keep people from using them. So there's different ways to look for broken links. You can use a tool like Ahrefs, which we do. You can also use a tool like these Chrome extensions that will search links on a page and look for broken links on a page. And we do both of those. But also what happens is there are a lot of links out there that you will never find with tools. Well, at least I haven't found a tool that will find them. And even when I had a tool built specifically for the purpose, well, then you got so many broken links that you couldn't evaluate them properly. So everyone wants to automate this. So what we do sometimes to find the best broken links is we actually just click links on a page. And I know that sounds ridiculous to people, but let me give you a little more context. So for example, there's one approach to finding broken links is to find resource pages, pages that have a lot of links on them, a lot of external links on them. And then you can use like a Chrome extension to search that page for broken links. And it'll find, the pages that are broken and whatnot. But if a link doesn't serve up a 404 error, and then maybe you click on it and it goes to what I call like the white screen of death, when you go to a website and it's just white, but it's actually not a 404 error, it's just white. Or sometimes you go to business websites and there's like a banner on the top that says, hey, we've closed our doors. We're no longer in business. Those types of things you will never see. A 404, like most tools just look for 404 error codes and they will not see those things. And sometimes you can click on something and maybe it's a redirect where it originally linked to a certain piece of content and now it's redirecting to something that's completely not relevant. And sometimes those can be difficult to find too with tools. There are ways of finding the redirects. But there are just opportunities that you can only find by clicking and identifying them kind of manually. So while we use tools, that's something that we do that finds good broken links. And you might think, oh my goodness, clicking manually sounds so old school. But the thing is, like if you're in a niche, so for example, there's one approach that we like to do in a SaaS business. Let's say you're a SaaS business and like a project management tool. One of the first approaches that I like to do is find a list post that has the top project management tools. Then you can Google top project management tools or best project management tools. And then you'll find like articles and look for an article that has a bunch, like maybe top 100 best project management software tools. And then you can, you can run an extension that searches all those links. But then you can also just start clicking those links. And yeah, in the beginning, it might be kind of manual. But over time, you start recognizing the same names in the industry. You recognize the tools that are popular and that are not broken. And so over time, you start kind of building up some like names that you recognize. And so if you go to a list, I've seen this one before. And then you can just start kind of picking out new ones that you haven't seen before and just clicking on those ones. And what I do is often when I find a broken link, then, I'm looking for a page that has a lot of broken links on it. So a lot of links. What I mean by that is a lot of links going to the page that is broken. For example, we find an article, and we'll stick with project management, that says the article is about, I don't know what the article is, but let's just say that we found an article and it's broken. And we plug it into a backlink tool like Ahrefs or SEMrush or something. And we see that there's over like 300 websites linking to this article, like 300 unique referring domains linking to this article. That's what I would look for. If I find an article that only has 10 referring domains or 5, you know, it's going to be hard to get enough opportunities for it to be worth my time. So I want to look for articles that are broken, but that have a lot of backlinks pointing to them. And then even when you find them, obviously you need to go through and make sure that these links are quality links, because there will be ones that will have hundreds of referring domains, but they're all spam. So that's an important thing, is you want to find, you know, good broken link, but you want to find it that has a lot of referring domains pointing to it, and that those links are quality. So yeah, over time, as we're kind of looking through manually, might be clicking through, like that's the things we keep in consideration. So I want to bring that up as just to point out that maybe some of the best approaches to find broken links aren't the ones that are going to be the sexiest or most exciting to talk about. And people might think, in a world of AI where everything keeps getting more and more automated, this system is so old school and so hard to execute that there's no way I would ever do that. But that's just the reality, that is a very good approach, that over time in an industry, you can keep getting better and better at recognizing what is normal and well-known. So what happens is you find a broken link, and then let's say there's 300, like the 300 referring domains. Then we're going to download that entire list, and then that becomes our prospect list. But part of the link building process is that we need to also check every single one of these 300 pages just to make sure, like, and we're going to look at it for metrics. We're also going to examine each page just to make sure, like, how are they linking to this broken link? Double check that link is actually broken, and just make sure that it makes sense to suggest a replacement that we might have. So during that process, I have to manually look at every single page and verify some things. And that's where often, in terms of scalability and how to kind of keep finding broken links, often during this time is when I'm keeping my eye open for other opportunities. So I'm on a page that I know has one broken link. And while I'm there, I'm going to see if there are other ones, other links that maybe are relevant or whatnot that could potentially also be of interest. And yes, you can run a tool and check the tool on that, check that page. Or you can also just kind of keep your eye open and then just click on links that, oh, this is a relevant link or whatever, and just see if there's any opportunities there. So that's kind of how I would do it on an ongoing basis. You find a broken link, you get those referring domains. Then you have to inspect those. And then while you're inspecting those for that campaign, you're also keeping your eye open for other opportunities. And then you're probably going to find some opportunity. And then that opportunity, again, you get that the referring domains that are pointing to that one. And then while you're inspecting those, you keep your eye open. So it can start kind of feeding itself, that once you find one good broken link in an industry, like, you can keep finding more as you go on. Because a page that has one broken link has a higher chance of having more. And so that's kind of how you can build the process, that you just keep your eyes open while you're in the process of inspecting those pages and whatnot. You keep your eye open, and it leads to more and more. So that's kind of the general idea of how we would normally kind of keep doing this on an ongoing basis. That being said, this doesn't necessarily work in every industry. You know, there are some industries where I've struggled to make it work, where we've had a hard time finding broken links in the industry. There are industries where it's much easier than others. So that is one of the downsides as a strategy. But when you find an industry where it works, you know, it can be really awesome. So that's kind of, you know, some insight into how we might do it on an ongoing basis. But let's talk more about how we would find broken links, just the different approaches we would use to find broken links. So one I mentioned two already. One is you would find resource pages, and then you would look on those pages for broken links, either with a tool or manually. The other one would be to find list posts, which are very similar to resource pages, but usually it's a content that's written, like the top tools or the best tools. And then the same thing, you can either use a tool to scan the page or you can click links. So those are two common approaches that we use. Some other approaches, we use Ahrefs primarily. These are the tool that we use. And we would use Content Explorer from Ahrefs. And with Content Explorer, you can type in a keyword. And then if you're on a certain plan, then you can say filter only for broken pages. And then you can kind of scan. And mostly what I'm doing when I'm scanning is I'm looking for ones that have a good number of referring domains, but actually seem like a legitimate piece of content. And the content needs to be good enough that either it's something that could be recreated for links, or something where we already have a content piece that's a good replacement. And that's the thing. Sometimes you'll get good broken links, but it just doesn't make sense, like how you could use it. You're like, well, like with something very informational, it's a very informational piece of content, that's something you could recreate. But sometimes the links are all because of the brand or because of, and it's just, it's hard to duplicate. So you kind of have to look at that. But that would be the approach in terms of putting Content Explorer, use certain keywords, and then it will pull up, you know, these different content pieces that have broken links, and then you just got to find the good ones in there. So that's an approach. So those are three approaches that I've mentioned. And then a fourth approach is to take a domain in Ahrefs, put it in, and then go to the Best by Links report, and then you can filter for 404 errors. So what this is great for, this can work well in, like if you're in a new industry and you don't really know where to start, you can take like just the top sites in the industry, put them in and see if they have any pages that are broken. And then if you do find a broken link with another strategy on a certain page, using the same logic that I explained earlier, like wherever there's one broken link, there's probably more. Well, that exists both on a page specific basis, but it also exists with this idea, okay, there's a broken link, a broken page of this domain, well, this URL is broken on this domain. So that probably means there are other URLs from the same domain which are also broken. So anytime you find one broken link, you want to take that domain and put it in Ahrefs and then check the Best Buy links to see what other pages on the same domain are also broken. So that can lead to some great opportunities because you find one broken link on a domain, there are often others. And sometimes you find a certain domain and you'll find 20 to 30 broken links that you can use. And it's like a little gold mine where you're like, oh, these are awesome. We found all these great broken links we can use. So that's a fourth approach. And then a fifth approach that we use is there's this report again in Ahrefs. It's an outgoing links report. You can click, you can see what a website is linking out to that those links are broken. And then this one's a little hard. Sometimes there are like thousands of broken links on a domain that they're linking out to. But you can, you know, for me, I just mostly just kind of skim and I kind of know what I'm looking for, what types of content. And then if I see one that I think is good, then I'll take a look at that page, see how many referring domains it has and whatnot. It's a little bit harder to uncover good opportunities that way. It's a little, you just kind of got to scan and see what you can find. But I've definitely found broken links that way that were really great. So I would say those are the five main approaches that we use to find broken links. But as I mentioned, once you find a broken link, there's different things you do with it. You get the prospects from it. Then while you're inspecting those prospects, you also look for opportunities. And then you can also look on that domain to see if you find other broken links on that domain. And that's something you consistently do across the board. Anytime you find a broken link, you check the domain, and then you use those prospects and keep searching for opportunities on the prospects while you're inspecting those pages. Okay, so this is the main way to kind of find broken links. Now, another thing that's really important with broken link building is finding broken links that have really great backlinks pointing to them. So this is like the first step. You find a broken link. It has a lot of great referring domains, like a great number. And then you have to look at the referring domains just to get a sense for how good they are. You know, you put the look at the backlinks. If there's a lot of wiki links, if there's a lot of, you know, things like directories or forums, anything like that, like you can get high numbers of links and there's just not much usable. So normally I'm looking for a lot of contextual links. I'm looking for links where sometimes they were linking to that as like as a source. So maybe on a stats campaign or something, they're referencing this page that had a statistic. Anytime they're referencing something very like a specific piece of information, like either it had a statistic or had a specific definition that they're referencing, something like that, those are things that are easily replicatable. You can take those and say, okay, if we have the same piece of information on our site, there's a good chance they would just change the link to us because they're just trying to source someone else where the information is coming from. So you're looking at how they're linking to the broken link and then whether you would be able to either recreate that content or you have something that would work. And so looking at that information and making sure that the links are quality is really important. You can easily, that's why it's hard to say like, oh, you should search for pages that have a certain number of referring domains. Like, yeah, it'd be nice to get broken links that have at least like 100 plus referring domains. But the problem is it all comes down to how good those backlinks are, because sometimes you can start with a page that has 200 referring domains. But then once you sort through those prospects and you get rid of the junk, maybe you're only left with 20, 30 prospects. Whereas on the flip side, you may find a page that only has 50 or 60 referring domains going to it, but all those links are super high quality links and you can use almost all of them. So the number of referring domains going to a broken link is important to look at, but what's more important is the quality of the links that are going there. How many of those links are you going to be able to use? So I would often, you know, search for like opportunities where there's a lot of referring domains pointing to them. But some of my best opportunities I've come across before have been only maybe 50, 60 referring domains, but they're really high quality. So you want to find ones that have a good number. You know, if you're looking for, and sometimes you can combine too, you can find this one broken link only has 10 referring domains, but I found three or four or five of these and they all are kind of the same type of links, then you can combine them. It's not ideal. It's just harder to do and harder to kind of scale when you're finding little piecemeal here and there, but it's something that can be done. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about building like replacement content for broken links, because this is a really important part of it. And, you know, whenever you are looking at, you know, a broken link, you need to look at like, what was the reason that people were linking to that broken link? And then if you're going to have a replacement piece of content, you want to make sure that it serves the same purpose that those people were linking to the broken link originally. For example, like I mentioned previously, if they were all linking because of a specific statistic, then you want to make sure you incorporate that specific statistic in a very prevalent spot in your replacement article, or maybe you already have a piece of content, you just want to add the statistic into it. But you're saying, okay, the reason people were linking to this content was because there was this statistic. So let's make sure that that's included. And there could be other reasons why, you know, you have to just understand what was the intent, you know, why are they, and then is our content serve the same purpose that that one did? And some people don't fully understand this and they're like, oh, well, there's a broken link on X and we have this content about Y. It's pretty similar, right? Which, yeah, maybe the topics are similar, but if it doesn't have the same, they can't link to that piece of content because the exact same reason why they linked to the original, you're going to have a hard time convincing them to link to it. So that's a really important part of when you build, you know, this replacement content, make sure that it's going to meet that same reason why they linked to the first one. Another thing to think about is that while having a replacement piece of content is my favorite. Like, here is a broken link on your site. If you're open to replacing it, here is my suggestion. Like, that's my favorite. But there are some campaigns where you can say, hey, you have a broken link. Here's the updated version of the link. Oh, and by the way, I also think my piece of content could be a good fit on your page. We have run those types of campaigns, and those can work at times. And I think sometimes like doing a redirect, like, okay, someone had an article specifically about email marketing, but then they got rid of that article. And so now it just redirects to the homepage, which is a blog about social media marketing or something. And so it's like, well, your link was originally going to this article on email marketing, which it no longer is going there. It's going to this homepage, and that's no longer relevant. So I also can consider that like a broken link campaign, even though, yeah, the link isn't necessarily broken, but the original intent, like why they were linking to the article originally, that changed, and it's no longer serving that intent. For me, I categorize all those links as broken. If someone's linking to something for a reason, and that content no longer serves that reason, then that's broken, and you can suggest something different. Now, when it comes to the actual outreach, the great thing about broken link building is you don't need to be that creative. You know, a pretty generic email just saying, hey, I found your broken link, and here is, you know, I'm going to suggest a replacement for it. That works, and it works fine. The important aspect is making sure that you're outreaching to the right person who will actually be able to edit that link and to update it. And a lot of people, when they want to do outreach, they will use tools to automate the process of finding the right person. I've never loved that approach because it just, I mean, if you have a very specific type of site, like, oh, they're all content sites, and, you know, maybe we can identify the writer or the editor, you can have some sort of programmatic way of finding the person you think would be the best person to, but that only works on very specific types of sites. And it doesn't work like, okay, maybe some sites are universities and some are government sites and some are content sites and all these different types of sites. There's going to be different people who are going to be the right person to contact. And it's hard to have a programmatic way of identifying those right people and making sure that you're identifying them and you're outreaching them. So when you're doing, you know, broken link building, for me, I always want to make sure I'm outreaching the right person to have the best chance of potentially changing the link. And that's a manual process. Now, you can do the way of just downloading a list from whatever email finding tool, but you're just going to miss out on some links that you could otherwise get if you spent a bit more time just making sure that you're outreaching the right person. So that's basically the main, I guess, points in terms of broken link building and how we tend to execute it. Like I mentioned, it may not necessarily be something super like sexy or exciting to talk about. It sounds so kind of boring, and you just got to keep looking until you find something and then it works. But I mean, I think the thing that I love so much about it is no one really talks about it that much. No one's that excited about it. It's not going to make headlines. It's, you know, it's been around since the beginning of the internet. I mean, no one's like jumping up and down in the chair like, oh, I heard this guy that does broken link building. This sounds amazing. I mean, it's like tried and true. It's been around forever. And that's what I like about it is that there's all these different strategies that kind of come and go. There was like the skyscraper approach that was a big fad. Everyone was jumping on that. And then eventually everyone's like, oh, this isn't working anymore. Not like it used to. And, you know, with broken link building, it's just kind of always been there and it keeps working just like it always has. And no one really talks about it, like, because it's not that exciting and maybe it's hard to find. So that's a big reason that I like it so much is that it never seems like it's something that's going to go out. It's not going to stop working completely. because it's been like, what, 20 years or so that people have been doing this strategy and it keeps working. And even with all the tools out there, I guess, you know, a final thing, let me kind of comment on this idea of, well, there should be able to use tools to automate this. Now, I did have a guy build me a tool to try to automate the process, and it opens your browsers and looks for it, and it looks for redirects that don't make sense, and it looks for more than just broken links, and it looks for, but then what ends up happening when you find it at scale like this is that then you just get so much data, and then you have to go through and evaluate them. So the finding isn't the only problem with broken link building. It's both finding and evaluation. And so you can definitely build a tool that can find, but then once you find all these things, well, then you need to evaluate. And then if you're going to both find and get enough data to evaluate, well, then you're just building another backlink tool. You're building another SEMrush or Ahrefs. And so that's where it gets difficult. Okay, well, because in order to evaluate quality, you need the number of referring domains, you need some different types of metrics. And so then you're building out a database, which again is hard to do. And these tools like Ahrefs, yeah, their databases are limited. I find broken links where their tool says there are none. And I tried all these different tools and there are limitations. And so it seems nice, like, okay, like you should be able to build a tool that can do all this for you. And, you know, I've worked with a couple different people. We've tried, and there's some issues that we've run into that make it challenging, because when I have a list of 300 different broken links and then I have to go through them and kind of check the metrics and look, well, then it's almost more effort than if I'm kind of doing that naturally when I find it and evaluate them on my own. So if anyone's listening and you're like, okay, this sounds like something I definitely want to figure out how to automate better than anything out there, or reach out to me, let's discuss it. I've had multiple discussions and attempts, and I would like to eventually figure out a way to do it better, but just haven't quite been able to figure out how to do it. But if anyone out there wants the challenge, you know, I'm all ears to discuss. But as is, it is a bit of a, even with all the tools out there, it still is a fairly manual process of finding, evaluating, making sure it's a fit. But, you know, that's kind of a lot of link building is there's some manual effort and process that goes behind it for the results. So that's why link building is often something that people don't necessarily like, or they don't get super excited about, because maybe it's more effort or more time than they want to spend. But I hope this was helpful for somebody. I do have an article on our site about this. It's called, we don't have too much content on our site, linkpitch.io, but how to scale broken link building. So it's just at linkpitch.io/broken link building. I'll put the URL in the show notes. But it goes through kind of the same thing we discussed, but, you know, just in written format, and yeah, there's some different information. So if that's helpful, and if anyone has any questions or, you know, whatnot about broken link building, I'm happy to dive into it. You know, this episode was mostly about broken link building. I do like interviews better, but maybe in the future I'll dive into resource page link building or some of the other ones. But there was enough for one chat here just with broken link building. So thanks a lot, guys. I hope you didn't mind just listening to me and no one asking me questions. It's a different format. So you have to let me know what you think and if you like it. And if you do, then I'll do more. All right. Thanks, guys.